information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight we care.
Appear to border
it shows.
On
the law.
The country.
You will remember nine you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
There's really no reason for concern because we're not tracking individuals, we're tracking information. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to MediaMonarchy.com. It's June 11th, 2010. This is episode 173. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, Conspiracy Con and beyond, the news purge overload, police state updates, and global government spillings, sinkholes, and sickened adventure. Tourism, unions, and worldwide condemnation, all that and so much more, food world order, cyberspace war, it's all here, June 11th, 2010, episode 173 of MediaMonarchy.com.
Your eyes for what it's worth. God-shaped hole tonight for what it's worth. 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 For what it's worth.
No one cares when you're out on the street, picking up the pieces to make ends meet. No one cares when you're down in the gutter, got no friends, got no lover. No one cares when you're out on the street, picking up the pieces to make ends meet. No one cares when you're down in the gutter, got no friends, got no lover. Friends, got no lover.
For what it's worth, that's Placebo from their latest record, Battle for the Sun. You may recall several months ago we played that title track here for you. In our grand opening, of Media Monarchy. Let me welcome new and returning listeners. Welcome aboard, all aboard. Where other shows end, Media Monarchy begins. This is episode 173, and it's June 11th, 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, as well as FoodWorldOrder.com and CyberspaceWar.com. All the alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups that your heart can handle. Broadcasting live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And, of course, the folks that help spread the word and spread the information. ZeroPointRadio.com. Also on 92.3 FM and 1670 AM in Casper, Wyoming. Kicking it out internet style and terrestrially. Huge thanks to them. RevereRadio.net. Free Radio Olympia, frolympia.org. 98.5 FM. Berkeley Liberation Radio.net on 104.1 FM. 93.9 phantomradio.org. Out of Boulder, Colorado, OneSkyRadio.com, 90.7 FM, KWMD out of Kisilov, Alaska. And we got CascadiaPublicRadio.org and Radio23.org. Radio 23, of course, making available the high-quality downloads, the high bit rate suitable for rebroadcast. If you are a micro-broadcaster or program director, internet, community, pirate, anything, you don't have to ask. Just play the show. This is all open source intelligence, public domain, fair use. And you can connect with me through most of the most popular web portals. Facebook.com/Media Monarchy, MySpace.com/Media Monarchy, Twitter.com/Media Monarchy, YouTube, Ustream.tv. You can send me an email, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com, Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org, all with Media Monarchy as your keyword. So much, my friends. My browser is hobbling under the weight of the massive news we have to go over this week. So we'll do some catch-up. Of course, let's glance at the breaking news on this June 11th morning, 2010. Of course, the story of the missing sailor girl. Everybody loves a human interest story, but you always got to remember how many people are actually affected by the news stories that take up all the blather on the 24/7 MSM. It's important to her family, of course. But is it the most important thing happening in the world right now? Yeah, I don't think so. Retail sales tumble. Oh, and of course, we have the World Cup. So, all the bread and circus for the folks while the world crumbles around their very eyes and ears. Always make sure you've got plenty of fluff. And all these things have their place. And in all things, moderation. I'm not some straight-edge, rigid guy. But it's the Colosseum. And the fading of the Roman/American Empire. So now, of course, I should tell you, we weren't here last week for the live show. I was out of town. I had a great trip to Santa Clara, California for the 10th annual Conspiracy Conference. Unbelievable. Had a great time. I want to thank my man, Ron Patton, conspiracy researcher, publisher of MK Zine, and so much more. He made it happen for me. Big thanks to him. And because of that, we're able to bring you all kinds of exclusive news. So if you were checking out the page last weekend, is when the conference was going on, actually on the 5th and 6th, you probably followed my updates, and they're all up on the page, and we even have some links to some of the local press that the conspiracy conference got, which, of course, wasn't very much. It's always just that, haha, isn't it funny, those silly conspiracy theorists are in town. But day one, put up an hour compilation. Pretty much everything I recorded on that first day went up for you guys, and I had it up that night. That was kind of my mission. I wanted to meet. I wanted to be able to collect that information, turn around, quickly edit it, and get it up online. And I was glad that I could do that. That's some kind of personal goal, I guess. So day one, we talked to Harry Sweeney of ProParanoidPress.com. He is actually from Portland, Oregon, so expect to hear from him again. We talked to a couple of folks from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, ae911truth.org. And actually on day one, we talked to folks who don't generally do press. I kind of twisted their arm with my disarming ways. We talked to a ton of great folks from We Are Change San Francisco, which was fantastic. They had a lot of good folks out there, a lot of good information. And then that was just day one. Day two, we really kicked it into high gear. And I want to thank all the folks who made comments through the weekend. I always encourage more commenting on the page, on anywhere. Because again, this is pretty much a one-man band. Any comment you make, any email you send, any of that stuff is all coming to me. But day two, amazingly enough, my friends, in one day we interviewed Jordan Maxwell, Dr. Michael S. Kaufman, Tex Mars, Anthony J. Hilder, Dr. Leonard Horowitz, Dr. Stanley Monteith, Michael Tesarian, Richard Gage, and tons more, if you can believe that. So day one was a one-hour recording compilation for you. Day two was a two-hour, but I couldn't include everything I did. Some of the folks, you get the entire interview with Stanley Monteith and Michael Kaufman and Sweeney and the other folks. You got the full interview. Tex Mars, once we sat down and started going, we ended up talking for 30-40 minutes. So you only get a snippet of that interview. Not sure if I'm going to upload that in its entirety. However, the other longer interview that I got is a great conversation with Michael Tesarian. Now, I first heard him and saw him online years and years ago now, doing his 2003 presentation at the Conspiracy Conference, The Subversive Use of Sacred Symbolism in the Media. His talk this year was an update, a part two, a sequel, a furthering, if you will, called The Age of Manipulation, The War on Consciousness, and The World's Awakening. Yesterday, I uploaded my entire Michael Tesarian interview. It's over 40 minutes long, and it's fun. We talk about Black Sabbath and Smiths and Back to the Future and Clint Eastwood and the media and the sinister forces and the occult overlay. So I can't recommend highly enough for you, my friends, to go check out all that information. I had a good time doing it, and hopefully what this is all about and what you heard us, I think, all say in those recordings is that that's what it's about, making actually real-world connections. And that's what we've been trying to do more and more. Because that's where it's going to be. We're using this 21st century technology while we have it in its present form, fairly free and open. But for the most part, they invented it and they can take it away. With an I-911. So in addition to all that, let's now blast through some of the latest episodes from The New World next week. My weekly 10-minute video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. I guess it's been a little while, so we've got three episodes to remind you about. Episode 31, 32, and 33 from May 28th, we go over the BP oil spill and all the updates that were current at that point. And of course, this is the catastrophe that keeps on killing. We also covered the Korean standoff and some of the latest updates with Cybercom. The Korean standoff we went over on the previous episode of Media Monarchy. Cyberspace War, all those updates are always available on cyberspacewar.com. Hopefully we're going to have time to get to the latest today. If the spinning beach ball of doom doesn't stop us. The June 3rd episode of The New World next week we went over Israeli piracy, puppets resigning, and Estulin in Brussels. Of course, the Gaza flotilla situation we covered on The New World next week. We have not gotten into it here on Media Monarchy. Of course, we were away last week. And of course, puppets resign we're going to get to today. German and Japanese heads of state resign, basically related to Western military adventurism. And Estulin in Brussels, of course, refers to the latest Bilderberg meeting, where elite globalists get together behind closed doors to decide the plebs' fate for the next year. Generally discussing not if, but how and when they're going to continue to pull the rug out from under us. On all these levels, you'll see, and again, I repeat this like a broken record, the people who cause the problems position themselves to be the savior. They create the phony fiat money. They sell us and get us hooked on terrible terror juice-fueled automobiles and such, even though they buy up the better technologies and shelve them. All these things relate. All these things are connected. You'll see that red thread running through it all. But the most recent episode of The New World next week from June 10th, neocons find Osama, Iran sanctions, and G20 billions. Some of this we are going to touch on today. Iran facing most significant UN nuclear sanctions, of course. The media thought police crucifixion of Helen Thomas, the ballooning costs for the G8 and G20, security costs for those meetings coming up. There's no way I can go into all of this and be able to touch on everything. I suppose in a way, we kind of use the show here as a way to read into the record all the things that are on the site. But it's all laid out for you to check out more of on your own. Latest episode from CorbettReport.com, 131. Bilderberg 2010. The aforementioned Daniel Estulin. James Corbett has interviews with Daniel Estulin. A follow-up coming soon post-Bilderberg. And again, Bilderberg was going on in the background of the conspiracy conference. So between the Bilderberg meeting, the Gaza flotilla situation, and the BP oil spill, all those things made for an interesting, pertinent backdrop for all the things discussed at conspiracy conference. And of course, conspiracy is a loaded term, a double-edged sword. You can say it and people generally know what you mean, but it's also derogatory. We try and deal in conspiracy fact. We don't take the accidental view of history.
No, it all just bumbles along.
There aren't powerful families throughout generations stealing up the resources, making all of us fight amongst each other while they get away with murder. Literally. But there was nothing about fake moon landings or chupacabras or Bigfoot or any of that bullshit. But I digress. And actually, 131 was last week's episode of Corbett Report. 132 is now up. Meet the Southern Poverty Law Center. Peeking behind the facade of the SPLC. And what you'll find is poverty pimping, race baiting, and much, much worse. Sinister connections indeed, the business of hate. And even folks from the left have attacked the SPLC. And now that we're in this fake progressive administration, as opposed to the previous fake conservative administration, it sure seems most effective when you attack the fake left from a real progressive left standpoint. And just on the flip side, to attack puppet Bush administration from a real constitutional, supposedly right kind of position. Counterpunch.org doing great work on the business of hate, the SPLC. CorbettReport.com also has the Sunday update videos going into Al-Qaeda number 3 killed again. More Bilderberg updates and who's to blame, and that would be the WHO, World Health Organization. All that and so much more. New World next week. CorbettReport.com. Open source intelligence. Another great source is my man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. Two new episodes from him to go over quickly. Frankenfed, the money-made monster, was the name of the episode for May 30th. That's also the title of the new documentary from Anthony Hilder of FreeWorldAlliance.com. We talked to him on day 2 of Conspiracy Con. I know one of his documentaries from several years ago was a helpful early big picture kind of documentary. 9/11, the greatest lie ever sold. So he was on with Clyde Lewis on KUFO 101.1 FM in Portland, Oregon, blasting out tens of thousands of watts all over the Portland metro area and beyond. The last I heard, the ratings were quite good, beating crap like Loveline and the such, giving a little bit of hope that folks are hungry for this kind of information. In the latest episode from GroundZeroMedia.org, Project Blackjack, a push from an invisible hand. My friends, you may remember Operation Blackjack, Project Blackjack, from last year. This time last year, this was the bizarre sort of predictive programming, comic strip, speculation, psyop. No one really knows. It ran in the Telegraph. Clyde Lewis and I did an interview about it in June of last year, because there are certain dates and hidden codes and twilight language replete through this blackjack. Clyde's latest episode is an update. We interviewed about it last year. That's one of my most downloaded episodes. I think it's number 3. We should do a follow-up and an update. to get all this information out. And again, to not run around and say, oh my God, it's going to happen. Oh my God, martial law's tomorrow. I think that can tend to be the rookie mistake. Sounds kind of jerky, because I've only been into researching this for the last 7-8 years, amateur style. And I think as you start to discover a lot of this information, your reaction is that it's going to go down. Stormtroopers marching down the street tomorrow. And it could happen. They're obviously preparing for something worldwide. Not just in Portland, not just in Philadelphia, not just in Toronto. All around the world, you see the same moves. Because again, you'll find the same oligarchs. You'll find the same central banksters moving back and forth between the supposedly private sector and the supposedly public servant specter. By which I mean sector. Slip. I'm digressing too much. There's too much news to get over. Let's go to the news purge. The 6-9 news purge for June 9th, for what it's worth. We're going to start with the latest 9-11 updates. World Trade Center I-beam unveiled at Bagram. That's straight from the war whore's mouth on defense.gov. From ChristianPost.com, mosque plan near 9-11 site is indecent, says ex-Muslim. Of course, there's this idea of putting a mosque near Ground Zero. And the rabble goes wild, again, throwing us these little issues to tear each other up about. A long-sourced article on 911blogger.com, seismic signals reveal explosives were used at the WTC on 9-11. We did talk to Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9-11 Truth. Something you don't hear on the day two recording is I basically thank him for the work that he's doing because he is an architect. I'm not an architect. I'm not an engineer. But I said, I don't like that all the focus is always on the buildings and the controlled demolition. Is Building 7 and all that stuff important? Absolutely. But it's the spectacular, sensational thing that gets you into it. But you got to keep going, and we got to get folks to talk about the intelligence network fingerprints. CIA, ISI, Mossad, all those connections there, the war games, the terror drills, the stand downs, the power downs, the infiltrations, the informants, the patsies, all the hidden footage, all the insider trading. There's a long clip from a show called Crosstalk asking who done it on 9-11. Richard Gage is the first one they talked to on there. I believe that's about a 25-minute show from Russia Today. And here's an interesting one. Let's grab it from the Seattle Times. Airline sorry for Bin Laden boarding pass image. British Airways apologized for a picture in a company magazine that showed a boarding pass in the name of Osama bin Laden. The company said that the image of the fake boarding pass appeared in LHR News, a bi-weekly publication for British Airways employees at London Heathrow Airport. A mistake was made, and we're working to find out how this occurred. Apologies for the error, British Airways said in a Twitter message, replying to tweeters who raised the issue. British Airways under fire for fake bin Laden boarding pass. You can get more on that from Yahoo Canada. It was just a mistake. We're not fucking with your mind. We're not assaulting your conscious being on every level. Debka File reports Osama hiding in Iran. You can get that from nationalterroralert.com, but we do go over that on the recent New World next week. Debka File, not generally to be trusted, but important to note nonetheless. And of course, the flashback from a few weeks ago where Stephanopoulos is interviewing Ahmadinejad about the reports of he's in Iran, he's hiding in Iran, Osama bin Laden's hiding in Iran, even though most folks, military included, all say, oh, he's dead. If the kidney dialysis didn't kill him, we killed him in Tora Bora in fall 2001. Dr. Bowman, Dr. Robert Bowman, talks 9/11 truth to power on the latest episode of Visibility 9/11 with Michael Wolsey. We saw Bob Bowman here in Portland a couple years ago. He's actually going to be back again this year, and I think it's on my birthday this August 11th. New Ground Zero deal gives plaintiffs $712.5 million. More on that from 9/11 blogger. And lastly, saw it this morning from the AFP, Queen Lizard Beast to visit Ground Zero next month. And of course, the inbred elites like to look at the destruction they're able to reign over. Visiting the crime scene, if you will. And her grandson, the Antichrist, you know. Oh, God. Let's move to Econo Crash, my friends, as we're going to blast through. This is going to be a lot of headlines, unfortunately, as we're trying to play catch-up. It's in your hands, again, to keep fleshing all this stuff out, and as we're all just trying to make sense of it all and do the data mining. The Prepper Movement, growing network preparing for world's end. A pretty interesting, lengthy article with interesting photos from asylum.com. We've touched several times on survivalism or the Prepper Movement. And it's not something to take lightly. If I had half a brain, that's probably what I'd be doing instead of spending so much time on this show. But if we can incite a revelation, it may not come to guns. But we'll see, my friends. A couple of the latest articles from Tarpley.net. Geithner rushes to sabotage German derivatives ban. Schauble preps new moves against speculators. And then Wall Street operative Tiny Tim Geithner rebuffed in Berlin on mission to make the world safe for derivatives. For that and so much more, Webster Tarpley has been appearing on Russia Today as a frequent contributor. So let's get the latest updates on the European and international new financial world order.
We start off with the world of finance, the topsy-turvy, at times upside-down world of finance. The Dow did a reverse 3.5 somersaults tuck into an empty swimming pool today, plunging 250 points before staving off massive head trauma and coming back up for air. Lots of things pushing the Dow off the high diving board. Investigative journalist Webster Tarpley, PhD also, I believe, here to talk about it all. So, Mr. Tarpley, I want to go ahead and bring up a quote. A quote we all know about, and it reads something like this. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. Of course, that's Murphy's Law, and I'm guessing Murphy's Law is definitely in place now, especially in light of today's news on Wall Street.
Probably this should be inscribed over the main door to the New York branch of the Federal Reserve System.
Right.
What we're seeing is the second wave of the Depression hitting around us, and that's taking the form of panic selling every morning on Wall Street. On Friday, it was 100 points. Today, it was 300 points, practically, 4% on the NASDAQ. Naturally, then, the European exchanges can close around noon, say Eastern time, a little bit before. And then in comes the Plunge Protection Team, the PPT, the President's Working Group on Financial Markets, and they use Federal Reserve money to buy stock futures, derivatives, to updraft the market and try to bring it back. And today they succeeded to a certain degree. Someday when we audit the Fed, we'll find out exactly how much public money has been spent on these exercises. But I think the really big news today is not this. The news is Germany. Now, this is 1 week since Germany instituted these measures against credit default swaps. That is a historical watershed. It's the first time in decades that a major power has violated and rolled back the so-called rules of financial globalization, which always dictate that hot money and speculation and derivatives reign supreme, and the Germans have said no. Now today, there's a good sign that Finance Minister Schäuble is escalating the German counterattack against derivatives and speculators. And here's what he proposes. This is a draft bill which the Merkel government of Germany is sending to the parliament, the Bundestag, and it says, we've got to fight certain transactions that are amplifying the crisis so that we can limit turbulence and volatility. Here's what they want to do. They want to ban naked shorts of German stocks. In other words, you want to short a German stock, you got to own it before that. Any stock that has a primary listing in Germany, you can't do the naked short routine on it. Similarly, no naked shorts of European government bonds, euro-denominated. No naked shorts of the euro itself. If you want to short the euro, you got to buy the amount. That makes it harder. And this is on top of the main ban, which is no naked credit default swaps against the bonds of the eurozone countries. That's really the big one, the one that limits the credit default swaps. Now, the U.S. is not pleased. Geithner of the Treasury has essentially declared war on these German measures. Here's what happens. We read in the Dow Jones Newswire that an unnamed Treasury official, who is it? Is it Geithner? Is it Mark Patterson of Goldman Sachs, his sidekick, his chief of staff in the Treasury? An unnamed Treasury official tells essentially the Wall Street Journal that the German measures are, quote, damaging to the market and counterproductive. They're one-sided and not likely to be adopted on a large scale. And Geithner is now flying to Germany, except he's going to stop in London to pick up the support of the new Chancellor of the Exchequer, Osborne, who's a notorious elitist, but that's by the by. Then he's going to stop in Frankfurt. He's got to get Trichet of the European Central Bank on his side. And then he goes to Berlin for a meeting with Schäuble. And the speculation is that Schäuble will hand Geithner his head. In other words, Geithner will get his head handed to him by Schäuble, who is a tough, experienced government official, whereas Geithner, of course, is a notorious, feckless featherweight, shall we say. Now, the other thing that's going on, unfortunately, some countries in Europe needed to join the German ban and didn't. Number one would be Spain, and what they're getting right now is a banking panic. They're the beginnings of a banking panic in Spain. One large bank went bust over the weekend, four banks yesterday, Monday, four more banks today, Tuesday, so it's nine banks, and Spain is beginning to tremble. They would have been well advised to join the German ban last week when it came out. The other one is Italy. There's a big debate going on whether Italy should join the German ban. A group of bankers and speculators camouflaged in a group of economists have come forward to say, we don't like economic populism. It's basically an appeal to Berlusconi, don't join the German ban. If the Italians are smart, they will join the German ban, and if they don't, they're going to have trouble, for example, tomorrow when they attempt to market about 8.5 billion euros of six-month treasury bills. So we're going towards a situation where there are two blocks in the world. There's a U.S.-British derivatives block, and there's an anti-derivative block led by Germany.
U.S. stocks, oil, and euro tumble. Dow ended its worst May month since 1940. 70 years. We also have the U.S. economic collapse top 20 countdown from the economiccollapseblog.com. Too much to go over. Europe's coming summer of discontent as well from the Economic Collapse blog. Warning signs of full spectrum collapse are everywhere. That's from neithercore.us. And an important note, and again, you see how these gangsters and banksters move, and you'll see countries trying to wriggle out of the central bankster control. Iran to dump 45 billion euros for gold bullion and dollars. Oh, but from the Vancouver Sun, homeless and panhandlers are referred to as scum of the earth at a recent hearing. U.S. mint out of not only silver, but gold, American Eagles as well. That's from ZeroHedge.com. National debt tops $13 trillion with T. That's $1,000 billions for the first time. And, of course, we just had Obama raise the debt ceiling. So what difference does it make if you're always just going to change the debt ceiling? They know it's all zeros and ones. Goldman Sachs subpoenaed by financial crisis panel for withholding key info. So just as it seemed during the fake Republican administration where it was all war and terror and get them over there and Halliburton and military power, now Obama comes in and it's Cybercom and Goldman Sachs and bailouts and money scams, all with a fake greenwash overlay. Telegraph reporting. We link to the Telegraph. We link to New York Magazine. Profiling Bernie Madoff's life inside, where we note he says such sympathetic things as, quote, "Fuck my victims. I carried them for 20 years. U.S. will be like Greece in 7 to 10 years, say congressmen and experts." That's from CNS News. "Representative for foreign bankers physically restrains reporter from questioning Treasury official." I believe that was a Huffington Post reporter. And again to the Goldman Sachs. And this is the part I left out, but I alluded to it all. This from Washington's blog. "Chairman of Goldman Sachs International was, until last year, also the chairman of British Petroleum." Surprise, surprise. Goldman Sachs and BP pretty much gave the absolute limit and the absolute most to Obama. Now you see they're intimately tied in to everything that's going on. All the social engineering, order out of chaos. Now, of course, we know the banksters have always funded both sides. And then when they decide who they'd like to be elected after they've been selected, they throw that person a little bit more money. Barbara Streisand has an op-ed on Huffington Post noting that corporations won't self-regulate. And the Tarpley clip that we heard is actually a week or so old. And what did he say? We're well into the second part of the cataclysm. Now what do we see from Bloomberg? Yesterday, June 10th, billionaire investor, Rothschild's bagman, and much, much worse. Billionaire investor George Soros said, "We have just entered Act 2 of the crisis as Europe's fiscal woes worsen and governments are pressured to curb budget deficits. They may push the global economy back into recession." Oh, we were out of one, but it might put us back into the recession. "The collapse of the financial system as we know it is real, and the crisis is far from over. Indeed, we have just entered Act 2 of the drama." That's a quote from Soros. Again, listen to the language used. It is a drama. But it's the shadows on the wall. Hey, this show's really great. Soros said he's having the time of his life. This is all the culmination of his life's work. He said it. And we'll, of course, reference the recent episode from CorbettReport.com, Meet George Soros. Our last EconoCrash note from USA Today, only a fraction of those in need for filing bankruptcy don't, because they can't afford it. They can't afford to file bankruptcy. That's how low we're falling. And on to the geopolitics. And again, my friends, we can't go into all of it. We're trying to play catch up. We missed 1 week and we're so behind. Secretive Bilderberg brings decision makers to Spain. That's from Earth Times. But a former NATO Secretary General admits Bilderberg sets global policy. That comes from InfoWars, but it sources right back to the horse's mouth, international press. They do set global policy. U.S. leaders and misleaders and movers and shakers go there, sometimes in, you know, violation of U.S. law, but they don't care about that. That's for us. That's for the suckers. Bilderberg wants U.S. disarmed and dependent on government. I would say they're well on their way. MikeChambersLive.com getting into the truth behind Bilderberg Group. But then on around the world, U.S. extradition demand leads to more than 70 dead in Jamaica. More on that bizarre, bloody story from allgov.com. Wayne Madsen on Russia Today, updating the story that we have covered, the North Korean standoff, all centered around the sinking of the Cheonan, a classic false flag operation, we ask and wonder. South Korea military holds anti-terror drill for G20 summit. And, again, with sub, from the Associated Press, sub attack was near U.S.-South Korea drill. Oh, there just happened to be a military drill going on, and it just somehow happened to go live. Isn't it funny how often that happens? But that's just for that accidental view of history, right? From the Telegraph, Chinese hiding 3 million babies a year. That amazing story kind of sounds like a hit international film yet to be made. Israel asks U.S. for more precision bombs. Now that's from SpaceDaily.com. I don't know if more modifies the precision or the bombs. But we can't discuss that, because you know what happens if you say the I word, if you touch the geopolitical third rail. You're a racist anti-Semite. Media thought police crucify Helen Thomas. Fans did offer support through Facebook and other websites after she was essentially fired over her offensive comments. But News Junkie Post and America20XY.com gets into that there's no need to apologize. We've played a good bit of clips from Helen Thomas in the past here on the show. Always asking the good, pointed, simple questions. She was the curmudgeonly old lady that got to sit in the front. She's covered every president since JFK. She's basically called Obama's bluff on being an in-the-war, change, progressive fake that he is, asking why we're in Afghanistan. Why are we still there? This is all based on the blank check of the official conspiracy theory of 9/11. But now that the phony parties have flipped, the other side wakes up and now they can suddenly see all these things Obama's doing. But hopefully we're trying to make them realize, and you need to do that. You got to talk to all these folks who supported the puppet Bush regime with all the murder and lies and death and false flags and destruction coming from the old boys and the skull and bones, all that. Now the folks who were complicit in going along with that are now waking up and saying, look at Obama, he's a socialist. I amazingly saw a good bit of anti-Obama bumper stickers and signs going through California. I know I don't see that here in Portland, Oregon. home of the biggest Obama campaign event. 75,000 people with the Decemberists opening up for him here. They need to shake this off. I'm digressing. We're talking about Helen Thomas, and we're talking about the Zionist-Israeli situation. Oh, but it's Iran we need to be afraid of. Unfortunately, my friends, this is all going to be tied into eschatology, end of the world, Armageddon, biblical prophecy that millions of people believe, even in different religions. Well, if it's all meant to be, we're all just going to work towards making it happen and making it a self-fulfilling prophecy. And this all centers around the Middle East and Jerusalem and Megiddo and all of that. So even if you don't believe in Jesus Christ or Muhammad or any other of your creator gods, it's all being used as an end run, end game, end times drama. This all, of course, segues quite nicely to some of our history mystery updates. The latest from Denver International Airport, the New World Airport. Denver's latest sculpture, the God of the Dead. This is from the Washington Post. Denver Airport's latest sculpture, God of the Dead. Sculptures outside Denver International Airport already include a 30-foot-tall, rearing blue Mustang with glowing red eyes, nicknamed Blucifer by snickering locals. Now the airport has another statue, a 26-foot-tall replica of the Egyptian God of the Dead. Workers erected the 7-ton replica of Anubis on Wednesday, June 9th. Next to the main terminal to promote an upcoming King Tut exhibit at the Denver Art Museum. The statue has promoted the exhibit in other cities too, but of course they never reported on that. It needs to be reported from Denver. Possible speculative home of at least this region of the North American Union. It's not far from the sculpture of the blue horse called Mustang by Luis Jimenez. That artist was killed in 2006 when a large piece of the Blucifer sculpture fell on him in his studio. Airport officials say Anubis will only stay through the summer. The coming summer of discontent. More on that from RedIceCreations.com, getting further into the 26-foot-tall Anubis statue installed at the New World Airport. We've got a pretty long playlist of a dozen or so videos on the Denver Airport on YouTube.com/MediaMonarchy. But our other history mystery notes, Tories ready to reopen Dr. David Kelly suicide inquiry. That's from the Daily Mail. And amazingly enough, a little bit of good news, if unbelievably belated, first convictions in the 1984 Bhopal gas leak disaster. I wish we could spend more time on a lot of these things. The media and the memes, Tom York, radio frontman, makes a bit of an overstatement, but we can hope for it nonetheless. Music industry on the verge of collapse, telling young artists don't even sign deals with labels. They're going to disappear in months, not years. And then the bad news. Gary Coleman, child star of TV's Different Strokes, dies at the age of 42. Dennis Hopper, creator of Easy Rider and so much more. Such an amazing all-around artist. Dennis Hopper dead at the age of 74. Most Americans can't name a single Supreme Court justice. That's from allgov.com. And I think we'll hit this two different times in the show. Rise of the New Right, MSNBC documentary, cites Alex Jones and Rand Paul as extremists. We also have my man, Alex Ansari, and Mohawk Mike, the man behind Ground Zero TV, reviewing and getting into Lady Gaga's Bad Romance video. It's hard to keep up with all the amazing occult symbolism and predictive bizarre programming coming from Lady Gaga videos. Of course, VigilantGuardian.com does a great job breaking down all of the subversive uses of sacred symbolism in the media, if you will. But it's on to the murder and mayhem. Another William Bennett update for you. Date set for teen's trial in William Bennett murder. That's from FairfaxTimes.com. You recall, it's now been well over a year ago. It was March 22nd, 2009, 322, where William Bennett, ex-CIA contractor, was randomly beaten to death on a jog in Lansdowne in Loudoun County, Virginia. CIA connected, involved in the mistaken bombing of the Chinese embassy in Belgrade. This is one of those stories that MediaMonarchy.com is pretty much your main source. All the articles, all the videos, all collected up on this bizarre story that, of course, went down the memory hole. CopycatEffect.blogspot.com gets into some of the latest Twilight language connected to bird killings. Bird being the last name of a recent rampage killer across the pond. Man kills three judges, commits suicide in a China court. Porn actor sought in samurai sword murder rampage. I saw this story before we took off for last weekend. And I even saw some friends that live around L.A. saying, Jesus, we got to get out of here. There's some crazy sword-wielding porn murderer. And I wondered if there was an update as I was putting this show together and making sure everything was posted up and backed up and archived. There is an unfortunate update. Stephen Hill, a porn actor wanted for sword slaying, dies after jumping off a cliff. And there is kind of a spooky photo to go along with that from CBS News. Attacks on National Forest and Park staff hit an all-time high. Nude West Virginia woman thrown off balcony in Myrtle Beach. A teen was arrested. And here's another one of the tabloid stories slathered all over the front pages of the 24/7 MSM news blather. Joran Vandersloot. But we note, by way of CBS News, the interesting angle. Not just the tabloid garbage. Vandersloot got $25,000 from the FBI before his trip to Peru, say private investigators. And there it is again. The ugly, sometimes sloppy fingerprints of the intelligence networks. Unfortunate updates on a story we did hit recently. Foxconn confirms another employee death, and we do have another clip going into this story where the Foxconn deaths highlight Chinese suicide rates.
A confused and grieving family wondering how it could have ended like this. The father of the recent factory worker who leapt to his death says there is no recourse and nowhere he can go for help.
Our whole family will kneel down. I hope that Chairman Mr. Guo will publicly apologize and find out the truth.
Terry Guo, head of Foxconn, has come out, but not to apologize.
We have 540,000 employees in our company, and according to experts, the suicide rate is within the normal range.
That might be a cold and calculated comment, but this is what the Foxconn chairman is talking about. In China, the suicide rate is about 12 people per 100,000, according to the health ministry. There have been 10 suicides among Foxconn employees. With 540,000 workers total, Foxconn should see more than 60 suicides each year. In other words, the number of suicides at Foxconn is far below the national average. Working conditions here appear to be in line with other factories in China. Life as a factory worker in China has always been repetitive, monotonous.
The company is treating us okay. The company organizes activities for us.
An undercover investigation by one of China's top newspapers turned up nothing new. And at least on a company-guided tour, everything seemed okay. But the string of suicides raises questions about China's factory culture. Young migrant workers in their 20s, many in a big city for the first time in their lives, working long hours and living in dormitories on site.
They blame these suicides simply on psychological, mental, or even individual issues, and they don't want to begin dealing with what the management is doing, workplace bullying, and other kinds of problems.
The government is investigating what's happened at Foxconn, but even if they don't find any abnormal practices, the string of suicides raises serious questions about how China's factories are set up, and whether more attention should be paid to support those workers who work long hours on bleak production lines. Melissa Chan, Al Jazeera, Beijing.
So we have to ask, is this the result of what has been a society taken over by the eugenics freaks? Where ultimately life has no meaning and the government can control how many kids you have. We just mentioned the story where the Chinese are hiding millions of babies a year due to the one-child policy, thanks to eugenics, inbred elites, fronted by Bushes and Kissingers, pushing that idea on China. This is the logical result. So much more to go over, but we should take this moment already, my friends, and tell you we're now into hour number 2 of episode 173 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberspaceWar.com. It's June 11th, 2010. We are, of course, broadcasting live from the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org, ZeroPointRadio.com, RevereRadio.net, and a huge thanks to FrOlympia.org, Berkeley LiberationRadio.net, PhantomRadio.org, OneSkyRadio.com, CascadiaPublicRadio.org, and Radio23.org. Let's waste no time and continue now into the Obama-Saya updates. Barack Obama's day off. From AmericanThinker.com, so is it Bueller? Or Obama. Obama. It turns out Obama isn't just the nation's 44th president. Obama's also the nation's first Ferris Bueller president, whose day off started on January 20th last year and runs through the same day in 2013. But Mr. Obama's hijinks aren't nearly as amusing as Ferris Bueller's. In fact, Obama's class-cutting shenanigans are doing a lot of harm to the country. Obama presidency, unlike Ferris Bueller's day off, isn't going to end so happily. Evidence of latent Buellerism in the person of Obama abounds. Take the more recent Gulf oil spill. Obama showing no sense of urgency. Plenty of time, ground time in Louisiana. Mounting political heat. Jetting to the Pelican State to engage Cajuns, Creoles, and just about everybody else. Obama's detachment is curious given that he was one of the chorus who castigated Bush for his alleged inaction in the aftermath of Katrina. This goes on and on, but of course we've noted before the massive amounts of days off, the massive amounts of time without any press conferences. And interestingly enough, we note, Obama held a press conference recently with no American flags present. And I believe, so far, researchers and bloggers and folks at FireAndreaMitchell.com note that this is the first time ever a U.S. president held a press conference without any American flags present. Now, I hate jingoism as much as the next guy, but again, we're reading the signs. Again, attacking from the left is very, very effective. Spread this one around a lot by way of Der Spiegel. Left-wing icon Daniel Ellsberg, he of the Pentagon Papers, notes that Obama deceives the public. But back to the fakery surrounding the oil spill. Army of temp workers were bussed in to Grand Isle for the Obama-Saya appearance and left soon afterward. Another photo op from this phony change administration. An interesting one from the Washington Post that gets into how Billy Clinton has evolved into Obama's Mr. Fix-It on a multitude of levels. Of course, you may recall Bill Clinton. He said he was Carol Quigley's understudy. Carol Quigley, of course, wrote Tragedy and Hope, basically going into the Rockefeller CFR background, Council on Foreign Relations. Clinton was also governor and was noted, as well as his brother, to be around Mena, Arkansas, where Barry Seal was running drugs. Mena, Arkansas, the drug deaths, the two teenage kids. Roger even being recorded saying, "Oh man, my brother, he's got a nose like a vacuum cleaner." Gold, oil, and drugs indeed. Paul McCartney says, "Lay off great guy Obama." That's from NBC Washington. We also get further into Sir Paul and Sir Barry. That would be Sir Barry Satoro. We also note from News Junkie Post that Obama has no political cojones in dealing with BP and or Israel. Huffington Post notes Obama not above political manipulation. Fight ahead for Obama's intel chief choice. Another military insider. More on that from the Houston Chronicle. How the Obama administration helped topple the Japanese prime minister. That's from TNR.com, and we're going to get to that in just a little bit. ACLU chief disgusted with Obama. That's from Politico. And then as we fan out around the interconnected apostles of war, Al and Tipper Gore married 40 years to separate. That's from the Associated Press. Senate candidate said White House discussed three jobs. That would be three jobs as a bribe not to run for the Colorado Senate. We've seen more and more of this political wrangling, again, thanks to Mr. Fix-It and Mr. Rahm Emanuel. Pelosi shouted down at a progressive conference. So maybe these things are all effective, attacking them from the left. But again, these guys are the puppets. They're meant to take all our abuse and all our blame, and they're the birdcage liner, and they'll be out. And the agenda will continue to roll forward unless we have a revelation. Rahm Emanuel's rent-free D.C. apartment, do you remember that story? Yeah, we now discover by way of the Los Angeles Times that that was owned by a British Petroleum advisor. Jim Greer, ex-Florida GOP chairman, indicted on charges of grand theft and money laundering. And lastly, Mother Jones asks the, I would think, rhetorical question, did the Bush administration experiment on detainees? Of course they did. The question Mother Jones really needs to ask is it continuing under their guy? A couple of bizarre Oregon oddities to note. True past of Oregon man emerging from federal probe. Now, that story and the main link I have for you just goes to the news roundup up on Google. Clues are emerging about the past of an Oregon man whose true identity has been revealed after he claimed to be an Ohio boy killed in a murder nearly 20 years ago. Deutschen Kratzev is this guy's real name. Bizarrely enough, he was posing as Jason Robert Evers. Furthermore, from KGW.com, from right here in Oregon, this guy was a lead guy with the OLCC. That's the Almighty Oregon Liquor Control Committee. Oregon OLCC ID theft, actually a Bulgarian immigrant. And of course, there are connections to other movers and shakers, and we're going to have to spend more time on that story. Anybody out there has more on it, wants to do more homework on that, and flesh out some of the connections, the invisible hands, if there are any, please let us know. The last Oregon oddity from the IntelHub.com, Evergreen Air, and a secret chemtrail facility. Now, I know some folks think chemtrail, oh, that's a kook detector. You're talking about chemtrails. They are geoengineering the atmosphere. Fact. Tests with barium and aluminum oxide and God knows what else. They're seeding the atmosphere. You see it in the skies. Unfortunately, see it a hell of a lot here in the Pacific Northwest. And that's where Evergreen Air is. CIA front. Of course, involved in rendition, which is the PC way of saying our government kidnaps and tortures people. Again, it's all about the language and the signs. But finally now, the last subheading on this news purge, War Whores. From ABC News, we now note that the Afghan war is now the longest war in U.S. history. The Afghan war was enormously popular when it began on a fall Sunday 8.5 years ago. Less than a month had passed since the 9/11 attacks, and President Bush could draw in deep wells of support when he ordered airstrikes against Kabul, Jalalabad, and Taliban strongholds at Kandahar. By mid-November, American forces had driven the Taliban from the capital. At month's end, Kandahar was in U.S. sights. In early December, the Taliban leadership fled and Marines set up a base near the Kandahar airfield. No one proclaimed mission accomplished. And yet, here we are, nearly a decade since that October Sunday, and the end of this often-tabbed other war, or the right war, as the Obamasiah has called it. The end is hard to see or even fathom. Under the order of a new commander-in-chief, the U.S. is now surging forces into Afghanistan. A new and complex mission looms in Kandahar, and the Taliban are surging too, to a devastating effect. We've noted time and time again, and here's just another update from Raw Story, where Kucinich notes, we may be funding our own killers in Afghanistan. There's no may about it. We are funding Taliban and other CIA, ISI, Taliban cutouts of double, triple agent patsies. Some folks think they're working for Jesus. Some folks think they're working for Allah. Somehow it always turns out they're working for gold, oil, and drugs. U.S. accounts for 44% of world's military spending. U.S. secret war expands globally as special operations forces take larger role. That's from the Washington Post, the CIA's favorite newspaper. They also note military expands intelligence role. UN report accuses U.S. of using CIA as pseudo-military. There's no pseudo about it. We can trace so much of the evil that at least comes out of this Western oligarch establishment of old boys and multi-generational serial killers to the 1947 National Security Act, which gave us the CIA and the NSA and all of this. Obama secretly deploys U.S. special forces to 75 countries across the world. That's from the Times Online. All those stories connected, expanding the intelligence role. Here again, we'll note number three, al-Qaeda, Yazid, reported killed by U.S. drone. U.S. kills al-Qaeda's number three for the umpteenth time. KVAL notes, sniper, or rather, a soldier shot by a sniper in Iraq, was billed for $3,000 by the military in the U.S. Even when they put you through the meat grinder, they don't even pay for you if you make it out the other end of a war of aggression. based on a lie, based on false flag provocations, as they always are. Troops were amassing to go to war with Afghanistan well before 9/11. Carpets of gold or carpets of bombs? Iran haze contains depleted uranium. That's from TehranTimes.com, noting the probable movement of depleted uranium haze coming from Iraq, coming from U.S. and Israeli forces. Blackwater looking for new owner. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Z. Danger Room notes the military's unable to keep tabs on pill-popping troops. And lastly, and of course this comes from Fox News, Taliban reportedly adding HIV-infected needles to explosive devices. That sounds like an incubator babies type story. That was the massive 6-9 news purge, for what it's worth. Let's now keep it going. Still, again, my friends, we can't get into too much detail in any of this, but let's get into the police state updates. Global government gone wild. We kick it off with an article from Tom Burkhardt of Anti-Fascist Calling, cross-posted on globalresearch.ca. The war on terror morphs into diabolical assault on civil rights, even topping the article with a little photo of, you know, the DARPA moths that are being engineered to spy on all of us. Gangsterism 2.0, global government gone wild at G20 in Toronto. That's from Disquiet Reservations. NORAD leader pledges support for G8 G20. G20 protesters could be hit with sonic guns. That's from the Toronto Sun. And from the Globe and Mail, I guess a little bit of an update to something we briefly discussed on the latest New World Next Week, tied in with the prepping for the G8. And of course, the G8 G20 meetings will be going on the same time that Operation Blackjack dates roll around again that show explosions worldwide, including Portland, Oregon. More on that, hopefully, from Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. But there was a fertilizer bomb threat in Ontario. We've seen these stories of missing fertilizer leading up to big meetings or terror drills. And again, they're planting the seed. This article wastes no time and doesn't miss the opportunity to mention, of course, Timothy McVeigh had a fertilizer bomb that somehow blew the entire building out from the inside. But let's break it down quickly as we are approaching the G8, G20. Toronto police prepare for G20 urban warfare.
They're sounding the alert. The Toronto police have purchased 4 long-ring acoustic devices, or sound guns, to control crowds for the upcoming G20 summit on June 26. But these crowd control devices were grossly misused in Pittsburgh last year, and American protesters are notoriously mild in comparison to others around the world. Are these expensive loudspeakers even necessary? Joining me now is David Murakami Wood. He's an associate professor at Queen's University. Welcome to RT, sir. Now, remnants of Pittsburgh, are the Americans coordinating with the Canadians on this form of equipment to disperse protesters in the upcoming G20 summit?
I don't think there's any particular coordination between the Americans and the Canadians. I think, however, that what you get at G8 and G20 summits is a kind of demonstration, a kind of arms fair, if you like, effect that many other cities will then take into account when they come to their purchasing decisions for security in the future when they hold such events.
Right. Now, we're going to take a look at some of the footage from Pittsburgh and Georgia Tbilisi when those sound guns were going off. And essentially, this is new technology that they're using. So should we expect a Seattle battle during the G20? And what kind of riots and response should we expect? But before you answer, let's just take a look at some of that footage, because I really want the audience to get an idea of what will take place at the G20 in Canada.
Thank you.
So will we see Seattle? Will we see Seattle in Canada when this takes place June 26th?
I think there's very unlikely to be a level of a protest of that kind. I think, however, you might well see the use of these devices. The Toronto police have claimed that they will only use their megaphone function. That is, they'll only use them as a kind of warning device, and they will not use the sonic gun capability of the device.
Sure. Now, let's also take a look at European protesters versus American protesters and riots. Now, as you've seen over the years, over the decades, really, the Europeans really know how to break through a lot of these security barriers, and it seems as though they have that objective, whereas the American riots and protests don't really seem to go anywhere. So how can we expect the Canadians to react? Or what kind of protests, riots, will they be more American or European is really what I'm trying to ask.
I suspect you'll see something much more North American. I don't think there's any expectation of a level of rioting that you see, for example, at the moment in Greece or in France and a few years ago. There's very much a kind of more culture of, civility, which in a kind of very mild way. There certainly isn't the kind of felt right of people here to riot, as there is in parts of Europe. And I think in many ways the Toronto police are massively over-exaggerating the possible threat that there will be from protesters. Essentially, this is a classic post-9/11 situation where the threat of terrorism is being aligned with the threat of, quite normal protests, which therefore, basically potentially treats all protesters as criminals. And there really isn't any need for that. This is not the same kind of situation in Toronto.
Well, I have to say I personally identify to that over-exaggerated analysis that you had. I do recall Pittsburgh and having to put my hands over my ears and just experience that. But also the RNC, they had this this machine-like thing that just cherry-picked protesters off the road. So it seems as though to deal with these crowds, they're using more militarized methods to essentially, dampen peace activists. Would you say that's what they're doing?
This essentially is what is happening. I mean, what you're seeing is a gradual sort of militarization of urban protest policing. It doesn't mean that they're actually treating this like a war, but if you look at the website of the makers of this device, the way they describe the device is as follows. They basically say, this is a device that can be used for military deployments. It's designed for urban warfare and use of access denial. It was originally designed largely and marketed for use against pirates in the Somali Gulf. This is not originally a simple device that is consistent with most of our expectations about human rights.
So you mentioned the device, and this is from the website, for military deployments and urban warfare. So urban warfare now is being applied to demonstrations in the United States, but also in Canada. I mean, how would you say the American people feel about these devices to disperse the crowds, but also the Canadians?
Well, I think there's a large degree of trust in the police in Canada in particular, and I think this kind of device can only really damage that trust. I think as the police in Canada become more influenced by international currents and by the way in which not only this device but other kinds of so-called less lethal weapons are being deployed in urban streets, not just, of course, particular technologies, we also see new tactics. In London last year, we saw the infamous use of what is called kettling, where the police surround protesters and keep them in a very small area for up to 3 hours, and then let them out one by one very slowly while making sure they're all photographed and their details are recorded. So there's all kinds of new techniques of control of protests which are now going on associated with the G8 and the G20. And there's a kind of network of expertise. So expertise from each protest gets shared to the next city. And they therefore increasingly ramp up the kinds of technologies and techniques that are being used.
Right. Well, that was David Murakami-Wood, an associate professor at Queen's University. We'll have to see what takes place there in Canada when it does show up.
And we will, of course, be covering it here on MediaMonarchy.com. Further down the list, strengthening NAFTA ties and the push towards a common security front. More on that from Dana Gabriel on Be Your Own Leader. NORTHCOM gears up for attack on U.S. soil. That's from ResistNet.com. Authorities to stage terrorism response in Tobaccoville, North Carolina, on Doral Road, I believe. More on that from JournalNow.com. Terrorism drill to be conducted in Tobaccoville for 2 days. Off-duty cop pretended to be terrorist gunman in hospital's unannounced safety drill. More on that bizarre story and the previous actions of that off-duty cop from Raw Story. Peter Dale Scott gets into continuity of government planning, war, terror, and the supplanting of the U.S. Constitution. And more terror drills. Golden Guardian 2010.
The goal is to be prepared for a major disaster. Hundreds of people took part in the 2010 version of Golden Guardian. The massive safety drill took place at Cal State San Marcos. It was a shooting and a so-called dirty bomb, one right after the other.
I was a victim. I had burns to the face and hands, and they decontaminated me. They C-spined me. They got me out of there fairly quick. I felt very safe.
County, state, and city's first responders worked with hospitals and other agencies on how to handle terrorist attacks in multiple locations. For CTN.org, I'm Jose Villanueva.
The terror drills and military exercises, of course, act to desensitize us to seeing the military perform law enforcement duty on our main streets, and of course gets the military used to it as well. FBI is sole justice agency prepared for terror attack, report says. More on that from the Washington Post. WeAreChange.org notes that surveillance cameras have now been installed at the Georgia Guidestones. That would, of course, be those strange bit of eugenics occult stones that get into population reduction and so on. American Traffic Solutions Incorporated secures investment from Goldman Sachs. More traffic cameras. Tying it all into the grid. Canadian and American cops run training exercises on New Hampshire campus. And a lot on terror drills in California from the Associated Press, WMAZ, and ABC News. Beach storming drill returns Marines to their roots. Arkansas soldiers learn how to transport ammunition in Operation Golden Cargo. Illinois plans emergency drill in the Chicago area. More on that from NBC Chicago. Troops invade Chicago for training. We also have a video from News8Austin.com. City of Austin approves a fusion center and a blood drawing specialist. Philadelphia plans street-level intelligence fusion center. James Corbett goes into fusion centers on the latest episode of Corbett Report to meet the Southern Poverty Law Center, the business of hate, which basically means anyone that dissents against the puppet tyrannical government, regardless of which fake party it is. Federal building in Atlanta evacuated after suspicious packages found. Two New Jersey men arrested on terrorism charges at JFK. Connected to Somalia, Kurt Nimmo breaks it down quite rightly. More dim bulb homegrown patsies arrested. But from Federal Computer Week, FCW.com, TSA now handling watch list checks for all domestic flights. And furthermore, the Wall Street Journal gets into airport screeners reveal travelers' surly side.
I'm Matthew Passy with the Wall Street Journal Online, and I'm speaking with Middle Sea columnist Scott McCartney about the new body scanners at airports and the reaction from travelers. So, Scott, what are some of the new procedures that the TSA is using to keep us safe on airplanes?
Well, TSA is going pretty heavily into body scanning machines. They have 80 of them up and running. By the end of the year, they're going to have 450 of them. And travelers, they've already put 4 million travelers through, and I think a lot more people are going to find themselves facing the body scanning machine real soon.
And what have been the reactions to these machines from the travelers?
Well, by and large, people have accepted them. There have been a few complaints and some interesting things we looked into. One issue is you have to take everything off, except your clothes, of course. But they look under your clothes, so it doesn't much matter. But people have found when they take off their belt, if they're fortunate enough that they're skinny enough that their pants fall down, that's kind of a problem. One guy was getting yelled at by the TSA for not keeping his arms up in the air. You have to, when the machine takes a picture of you, you have to hold your arms up over your head like you're sort of a prisoner. And he was struggling to keep his pants up. He also found that, and a lot of people have found this, that your valuables, your wallet and things like that, that you normally would just keep with you as you go through a walk-through metal detector, all of that have to be put in bins and sent through the X-ray machine, and so you're separated from it from some time. And that's upset some people, that they don't want to be separated from their valuables.
I believe there's also been other reports of being separated from your personal civil rights. No place to hide. More on DHS and ISIS. That's that new 360 surveillance panopticon camera, and of course named ISIS. This is a follow-up. We already covered this story. More from spacewar.com. UK children as young as four to be fingerprinted to borrow school books. And out of KRQE, the Party Patrol nets another important teen liquor bust.
Their job is to bust up underage drinking parties, and it appears to be working. It's the second weekend for the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Department's new Party Patrol, and the sheriff says he may extend it to a third weekend. News 13's Crystal Gutierrez joins us now with more on that. Crystal.
And Tam, BCSO is going all out, using 16 deputies assigned specifically to respond to underage parties, even the department's helicopter to break up parties in remote parts of the county. Last night, they got another one. Deputies arrested 44-year-old Miguel Montiel. He also goes by Miguel, and charged him with five felony counts of giving liquor to minors. Deputies were called to a loud party in a South Valley neighborhood just after midnight. Montiel owns the house, and he was at the party when officers arrived. Inside, deputies say they found five minors with bloodshot, watery eyes, and they even told officers they had been drinking. The youngest was 15. They told deputies it was a graduation party. Graduation parties and Memorial Day weekend were the reasons the Sheriff's Department started the party patrols. Last weekend, deputies busted up 16 large parties in the South Valley, North Valley, and in the East Mountains. The department says it shows the patrols are working, but last night's bust may be the department's last. One neighbor says she hopes they continue.
It's for kids' safety. You know, I mean, they have the law of 21 and over for a reason.
And the Sheriff's Department says it will evaluate the past two weekends to determine if the patrols are working and if they should continue through next weekend. The teens at last night's party were also cited. Tim.
Thank you, Crystal. Along with busting up parties, the additional deputies on duty have also helped with a number of traffic stops that resulted in the arrest of more juveniles, not for booze, for drug possession.
Again, anything they can do to get in the door, you got to invite the vampires in, and once they're in, they'll use the phony terror laws to do everything. Won't somebody please think of the children? Oh, but let's tie this in from ABC15.com. Thousands rally in favor of Arizona immigration law.
The heat also causing some problems for people rallying in support of our state's new immigration law. ABC15's Angie Holdsworth joins us live from the state capitol. And Angie, you can see behind you, a lot of people are still out there right now.
Yeah, it's been a very long day, you know, out here in this heat. But, you know, the momentum is still very strong out here. You can see, you know, we've had some very high profile speakers taking to the podium. You have State Senator Russell Pierce speaking right now. You know, for many people out here, they feel very passionate about this, and for them, this is the place that they've really wanted to be today.
Arizona's right. Arizona's right. And you know that Arizona's right.
Arizona's from all over the country.
Arizona's right.
Braving the toughest of temperatures.
We brought 900 bottles of water, and we've been through about 300 already. Yeah!
Supporters of 1070 standing together.
As an American of Mexican descent, I feel that I have to support my country, which is America.
Drawn here out of personal conviction and for the state of Arizona.
I thought, man, I better put my money where my mouth is. And I haven't been on vacation in a long time.
John Anderson traveled from Illinois. The song in his heart, one that he hopes catches.
You'll see that Arizona's right.
Arizona's doing what America should be doing.
For the couple thousand people, many were not familiar with the Arizona heat, and there was a close caller, too, in the crowd. The rally here, turning up the heat for the Tea Party effort. The journey to get here, well worth it. All for the sake, many here say, of simply being heard.
This is not about race. This is about being an American and enforcing the rule of law in this country.
Arizona's doing what D.C. isn't doing.
And there were a few protesters of 1070 over near the Capitol building, but nothing that really crisscrossed over into the rally here. Now, as far as the rally here, it's still going strong and expected to go at least until 7 o'clock. Live here down Capitol building, I'm Angie Holdsworth, ABC 15 News.
Oh, and let's tie this in. The commercial from the upcoming smear, Rise of the New Right.
I have a message from the Tea Party. We have come to take our government back.
There's a rising tide on the right.
I think the government's too big.
Voiced not just by extremists, but by recruits from the neighborhood.
Our president is a liar.
The Tea Party is determined to take power. What does that mean for America?
We are in deep, Taryn. Deep, deep.
I'm Chris Matthews with a hard look at the rise of the new right.
Premieres June 16th at 7 on MSNBC.
MSNBC pretty much seeming to carry the torch from the phony previous puppet administration. It was all Bush and Fox. Now it seems to be all Obama, MSNBC. And we'll finally tie this in. Cell phone video appears to show U.S. Border Patrol killing a Mexican teen. More on that from Raw Story. And those are your police state updates, my friend. Oh, my goodness. Are we going to make it through all of this horrible news? On to the BioWars and EnviroHealth. Spilling sinkhole and sickened. BP commands government to strangle off media coverage of oil gusher. News networks say access to oil spill, quote, slowly being strangled off. InfoWars Raw Story. For more on that, we've now been covering this for several weeks, 6 weeks now. And it's tough to completely take it all in. The massive effect this is going to have on everybody on a number of levels. Obama sends bomb and Mars experts to fix BP oil spill. That's from Business Week. Miami Herald notes this disaster just got enormously worse. Heck of a job. Browner says BP has financial interest in downplaying spill size. And an energy expert says nuking the oil leak is the only thing we can do. Weeks ago at work, I had somebody ask me, who knows, I pay attention to insane news, and they were like, man, I heard something about nuking the spill. Was that real? And unfortunately, it is. Stranger than fiction. 30 shocking quotes about the spill that reveal the soul-crushing horror this disaster is causing. That's from the Economic Collapse blog. Physics professor says this oil leak could last for 5 years. BP cited for more than a spill or leak a day in the U.S. for the last 20 years. So just as everything else we've said, this didn't just start. U.S. launches criminal investigation into the spill. Goldman Sachs sold $250 million of BP stock right before the spill. All these things, again, having the hallmark of some type of provocative, catalyzing, false flag event. My hop, why hop? Let it happen on purpose, made it happen on purpose. It's all going to come out, but we already see the drills, the cover-ups, the insider trading, all leading back to all the folks in the administration. Am I talking about 9/11 or am I talking about the oil spill? Am I talking about the new financial world order? Spike Lee states the obvious. BP in cahoots with the government. Concerns over another BP oil rig in the Gulf. But of course, there are actual solutions. FarmWars.info notes Gulf oil spill solution restores environment in just 6 weeks. BitPlayer gets into the hole in the bottom of the ocean. BP chief Tony Hayward sold shares weeks before oil spill, so that's Goldman Sachs selling $250 million of BP stocks, and the head of BP selling shares weeks before the spill. So again, evidence points to BP spill, false flag. BP, of course, in cahoots with the Gov. Hid videos showing the size of the spill, oblivious to oil in Mississippi, possible troops in Louisiana. BP continues to deny oil plumes exist. And again, this time from Danger Room, a Marine techie says end the Gulf oil spill with mother of all bombs. U.S. names 13 countries plus the United Nations which have offered oil aid. That's from the AFP. Senate hearing disrupted as woman pours liquid on herself. This is what it feels like. And lastly, on the poison spilling, witness statement said bosses knew Gulf oil rig disaster was, quote, gonna happen. That's from the New York Post. And all around the world, it's just as disgusting and bizarre. Guatemalan sinkhole looks like it goes to the center of the earth. You can get this story from nationalpost.com. This kind of reminded me of the Norway spiral, and when I saw photos of it, I thought they were all fake, and I had to search around and discover that that spiral really looked like that. This giant sinkhole in Guatemala really looks like this. Earth changes indeed. Phoenix area hospitals fight highly toxic super germ. DARPA wants to predict deadly pathogens with prophecy. Well, just look at the biolabs. That's where they come from. Such as this case. Documents reveal Army lab mishaps. That's from BioPrepWatch.com. Actor Suze Bayer claims birth control pill caused her to have a stroke. Bayer, of course, connected back to the Nazis. Central America reels from tropical storm Agatha. And I believe we can also note in the breaking news right now on this June 11th, there were, I believe now, 16 dead right now. This is 14 minutes ago from USA Today. Dozens missing in flash floods in Arkansas. Soldiers at risk for aerosol anthrax attacks. Chemical terror remains a threat. And amazingly enough, my friends, Jerome Hauer, man intimately connected to the events of 9/11, connected to the man who knew, John O'Neill, he wrote an article for GSNmagazine.com, Chemical Weapons Pose a Great Threat. And when a shady, oily insider like him wants to come out and talk, we should probably check it out. From the Telegraph, Pacific Islands growing, not shrinking due to climate change. Environmental impact study ordered for Plum Island. Again, that's from BioPrepWatch.com. And again, we note that's where Lyme disease comes from. Thanks, Plum Island. Bioattack drill held in North Carolina, Ohio, and Washington State to start Homeland Response Forces. Movement on for mandatory flu shots. Clam boat pulls up canisters off of New York and the crew gets sickened. It turns out they were poisoned by mustard gas. And lastly, we'll note, We Are Change Rhode Island and Boston confront Bill Gates on, of course, his eugenics connections, flying syringes, his father on the board of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, racist, Nazi-connected eugenics. Bill Gates, of course, was a guest of Bilderberg last week. Quickly now, German and Japanese presidents resign over U.S. military adventurism. First, from the local.de, Kohler resigns after correctly connecting war to economics.
In a move that is shocking all of Europe, German President Horst Köhler resigned Monday.
German President Horst Köhler has quit following controversial remarks about Germany's military operations abroad. He suggested earlier this month that it would be justified to take military action to defend Germany. German economic interests. I regret that my comments on this difficult and important issue for our country have led to misunderstandings.
Köhler said the German press's criticism following the comments was unjustified and disrespectful to his office. A writer for The Guardian seems to agree and says the reactions reflect a need for major attitude adjustment in Europe. The sudden departure of a good man as Germany's president is profoundly destabilizing for Europe. His remarks were grotesquely and cynically misinterpreted. The anti-politics and anti-politician mood is ugly and is doing damage to representative democracy. In Germany, a correspondent for France 24 says the people turned on the popular president because they were worried about Germany's reputation.
Germany's mission in Afghanistan is a very sensitive topic. Germans are very nervous about the role that their army plays abroad. So this sparked quite a heated debate here in Germany.
On a larger scale than just Germany, the Wall Street Journal's Market Watch says Köhler's resignation will be another addition to Europe's debt crisis. It added another dose of political uncertainty to already stressed European markets. A new president must be elected by June 30th, but the election could tear Germany apart politically. Köhler, who was only 1 year into his second five-year term, was a political prize because he was popular with both parties in Germany. Such a success story won't be easy to repeat. Deutsche Welle says the German media thinks Köhler's resignation hurt the office.
When little truth nuggets spill out, heads will roll. Whether you're Helen Thomas or the president of Germany. Furthermore, Hatoyama resigns over U.S. military base on Okinawa.
He's the fourth Japanese prime minister to resign in 4 years. After only 8 months in office, Yukio Hatoyama is stepping down. Mr. Hatoyama saw his approval ratings plunge below 20% amid allegations he wasn't delivering on important campaign promises. But it wasn't always bad for Mr. Hatoyama. CNN's Kyung Lok compares his candidacy last fall to that of President Barack Obama, saying Japanese voters sick of business as usual had high expectations for their new prime minister.
Minister.
Japan's new Prime Minister and his party, the Democratic Party of Japan, pledged major government reform and economic recovery. But the euphoria didn't last long. Candidate Hatoyama promised to move a U.S. Marine base off the island. Prime Minister Hatoyama couldn't keep that promise as he came under pressure from the U.S. The issue overshadowed Hatoyama's entire agenda.
In fact, the Okinawa issue is being widely reported as the reason behind the resignation. Russia Today suggests that's why his own party might have been trying to push him out.
It was a key pledge to put Japan on a more equal footing with the U.S., but opponents say that his defeat showed his inability to stand up to Washington. The Prime Minister faced growing pressure from within his own party to resign ahead of elections due in July.
But the story might not be that simple. Mr. Hatoyama was also embroiled in a political funding scandal involving unregistered donations from his mother to his political funds management body. And that, the Telegraph reports, is the main reason he resigned.
And it's that political funding scandal that's led to the Prime Minister's resignation. This man, Ikiro Ozawa, is heavily embroiled in the scandal, his presence putting into jeopardy the success of the party.
In order to revive the Democratic Party, let's make the Democratic Party clean once more.
Now, as long as we're on the geopolitical tip and we're running out of time, we have to get to, of course, the worldwide condemnation of Israel attack on a Gaza aid ship. And we'll quickly note, pre-clip from Kurt Nimmo, and this is what we get into on The New World next week, Israel will once again get away with murder, and they will not suffer meaningful consequences for their brutal attack on a flotilla of ships headed for Gaza. Now, this report is one of the earliest. There are, of course, tons of updates, but let's just get in on the ground floor and read this story into the record.
Israeli forces stormed at least one ship attempting to break the blockade of Gaza. Commanders lowered themselves from the helicopters and onto the Mavi Marmara. That's the lead ship in a flotilla of six vessels which are carrying aid for the Palestinian territory. We can confirm that at least two people have been killed and more than 30 have been injured. Israeli radio is reporting the death toll may be as high as 16 people. Well, our reporter on board the ship sent this report before communications were cut.
The organizers on board the Mavi Marmara, after two people have been confirmed killed by the Israeli army, have now asked all the passengers to go inside. They've raised the white flag. This after Israeli commandos descended upon the ship in international water from a helicopter, as well as surrounded it by vessels from all sides. Tens of people, civilians, have been injured. There are still sounds of live fire despite the white flag being raised. Tens of people have been injured. Two people have been killed on board the ship, which holds 600 activists, parliamentarians, women, children and the elderly, all of whom are civilians. Organizers have asked everyone to go inside. So this is where we shall head. Jamal Al-Shayal, Al Jazeera, on board the Mavi Marmara in international waters of the Mediterranean Sea.
And then, of course, massive updates for you on this MediaMonarchy.com posting worldwide condemnation of Israel attack on Gaza aid ship. Israel jails 480 Gaza aid activists. GeopoliticalMonitor.com gets into Israel versus the world. Paul Craig Roberts gets into America's complicity in evil and says that AIPAC purchases U.S. elections. Video shows aid workers fighting off Israeli soldiers. U.S. Navy veterans continue to seek justice for Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. Of course, that happening right around the same date, June 1967. And here we are, June 2010. Ex-Mossad agent says Gaza flotilla raid was so stupid it's stupefying. 1,000-plus march against Israeli war crimes in Times Square. Turkey announced they were going to send another flotilla to the Gaza, this time escorted by the Turkish Navy. Kucinich wants Obama to call Israel to an accounting. We've got tons of video and tons of clips. Flotilla witnesses, activists were defending themselves. U.S. declines to apportion blame after Israeli raid. Israeli Knesset member notes that Israel wanted a high number of fatalities. And of course, an official notes by way of ABC News, U.S. will stand with Israel. Fears of a new flashpoint as defiant Israel prepares for showdown with two more Gaza aid ships. Hillary called for Israel to investigate itself in the flotilla incident. Glenn Greenwald destroys MSNBC's weak defense of Israeli attack. And there was a ship called the Rachel Corrie.
Global Research asked if it was going to be able to break the Israeli blockade. Even more updates. Gaza Flotilla American, who was on this ship during this raid, was also a survivor of the USS Liberty attack. U.S. citizen killed on flotilla was reportedly shot in the head 4 times. And my man Jeff Long at redactednews.blogspot.com gets into 43 years ago, Israel attacked America's USS Liberty, and almost to the day, they're reacting that moment. Israel deported activists from Irish aid ship. And lastly, Harry Reid puts out a statement defending Israel, essentially blaming the activists for their own deaths. But let's take our hand off of the geopolitical third rail. In our last 10 minutes here, let's blast through everything else we can. Marijuana workers join union in California. A California union made up largely of grocery store and retail clerks has reached out to employees of local marijuana clubs, looking to the day when legal recreational use of cannabis could mean thousands of new workers to organize. California voters are currently split over the idea of legalization coming on a vote this November. 49 say in favor, 48 opposed. That's a new poll from Public Policy Institute in California. And our flashback on legalizing marijuana in California, the Golden State's pot of gold, going back to March of this year. So with our remaining time, we're going to hop to my sister sites. First up, foodworldorder.com for the binge and purge, more unhappy meals. Cadmium-laced McDonald's Happy Meal glasses recalled. Thanks, Shrek, forever. Dirty, contaminated beef fed to children through school lunch programs. An amazing letter to the editor on BancroftThisWeek.com. Reading labels, what's in your mouth? Reuters gets into, waiter, there's a potential carcinogen in my soup. That would be, of course, BPA, bisphenol A, the chemical that is an endocrine disruptor, and it's no accident, it's in our food. Obama's USDA to deceive Americans over GM crops. More on that from naturalnews.com. Federal Register documents show further deregulation of GMOs. Haitians suspicious of Monsanto seeds distributed by CIA front USAID. More on that from allgov.com. And lastly, food and depopulation, the Rockefeller family. From Click to Houston, TV promotes poor diet, study says. Advertised food has way too much sugar and fat. Letting TV ads choose your food will lead to an imbalanced diet, according to a new study in the Journal of the American Dietetic Association. The results of this study suggest the foods advertised on television tend to oversimplify nutrients associated with chronic illness, lead investigator Michael Mink said. The diet was based on watching 84 hours of primetime TV and 12 hours of Saturday morning broadcast during 2004, and all the major networks were sampled. So that's all for foodworldorder.com. We're just going to get into the rest of cyberspacewar.com with DEFCON. That's a news purge. That's a binge and purge. An ugly list of headlines. WikiLeaks, registered, and artificials. U.S. intel analysts arrested in WikiLeaks video probe. My friends, this connects to collateral murder, the massive story WikiLeaks broke recently. More from Of Goats and Men and all the State Department connections all surrounding this guy, but let's break it down quickly with a clip on WikiLeaks and collateral murder arrest.
Come on, fire!
This classified video showing a group of unarmed men gunned down in Iraq 3 years ago wound up on WikiLeaks.org after it was leaked to the website.
Request permission to engage.
Now the Army has detained the soldier who is suspected of leaking the video. The military has identified him as Army Specialist Bradley Manning of Potomac, Maryland. Officials say he hasn't been charged yet, but he is being held in Kuwait. They say he is the third suspected leaker who has been apprehended by the Obama administration. The video was shot from an Apache helicopter and posted on the website last April. It raised questions about the military's rules of engagement and whether more should be done to prevent civilian casualties. Among those believed to have been killed was Reuters photographer Namir Nur el-Din, as well as his driver. Two children were also wounded. However, an internal investigation concluded that the troops acted appropriately. Ross Simpson, The Associated Press.
So I'm sure that's not the last we're going to hear about Bradley Manning and this WikiLeaks connection. There was also a smear saying WikiLeaks basically got everything they started with from a Tor, T-O-R. That's the Onion something, but not the satire site. So much to get into. Cryptogon.com, NewYorker.com, and The Register all gets into WikiLeaks, denying a Tor hacker eavesdropping gave the site its start. There's a massive interview profile of Julian Assange in The New Yorker. But furthermore, AT&T leak leaves U.S. Apple iPad owners at risk, and I believe that even includes our good friend Rahm Emanuel. Lieberman bill gives feds emergency power to secure civilian nets. DHS would be cyber power center under Lieberman Collins' proposal. NSA chief notes in the Washington Post, USA carefully monitoring military computer networks for sabotage. Wireless signals and I believe even cell phone signals are going to be jammed in Canada for the upcoming G8 G20. More on that from the Register. Top U.S. commander in Iraq raises internet concerns. New worries emerge about internet monitoring. Calls increase for government to regulate net journalists and bloggers. Michigan considers law to register journalists. Thanks, Fox News. And again, if you're not toeing the line, if you're not a model reading a government press release on a mainstream corporate-owned news outlet, if you're not toeing the line, regardless of which puppet administration, you need a license. Lawyers claim Google Wi-Fi sniffing is not an accident. Chinese net addicts staged mutiny at a boot camp. CEO at firm that made $100 million selling scareware was a fugitive. Six astronauts begin 520-day mock flight to Mars. The Register notes, approaching space object artificial, not asteroid, says NASA. More active sun means nasty solar storms ahead. That's from Yahoo. And lastly from RedOrbit.com, ancient meteorite discovered in Oregon. So many amazing things being predicted in the programming. That's why we're doing Cyberspace War, covering all the interesting revelations on inner space and outer space. Privacy fears mount as ad targeting grows. That's from the AFP. And of course, this all always sources and cites Minority Report. The technology is there. They're just rolling it out for you with biometric eye scans. They'll be able to say, oh, James, would you like the new record from blah, blah, blah? Or whatever you're into. 1,000 jobs headed to Fort Meade under cybersecurity. This is from the Baltimore Business Journal, where they note, we don't want to defend the net. And Danger Room gets into more of that from Cybercom. We don't want to defend the net. And they say, but we just might have to. However, we note, they do want to. They want to fight the net like an enemy weapons system. That's all from CyberspaceWar.com. That's all from FoodWorldOrder.com. And that is all from MediaMonarchy.com. Amazingly enough, we made it through all of that. Of course, as I said repeatedly, not as in-depth as I would like to or as we need to. But again, we lay it all out. Hopefully, you guys will help in doing more research and reading and spreading all this kind of information. So at the close here, again, let me implore you to check out all of the exclusive interviews and coverage from the Conspiracy Conference last week, posted up at the top of the page on MediaMonarchy.com. 3+ hours of interviews, exclusive, all kinds of folks. Spread that far and wide, and again, that's how this will all work. I'll also remind you there is that donate button, my friends, and your support helps keep this alternative news outlet going. So having said all that, my friends, my name is James Evan Pilato. I am your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. Of course, broadcasting and recording live from the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org. This has been episode 173 for June 11th, 2010, reminding you, as always, to get active or get radioactive. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org, the New World Network video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail Media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether you went on with the diary, or whether you did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.